At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Take command, Grant Paulson, Logan Paulson. Welcome back. This pick segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I'm a big FanDuel guy, and over on FanDuel right now, I like Zach Ertz to go for over 40 receiving yards in this game against the Giants to open the season. That's plus 138, my friend. Over 40 yards, I'm getting back more money than I'm putting in. I think this is a good little matchup for him. And by the way, they're keeping him fresh. He wasn't at practice on Wednesday. He has been building up to the season, getting all the work in he needs, but they're taking really good care of him. And let's face it, last time we saw him, he was targeted over 15 times and catching over 10 passes in the NFC Championship game. Second half of last year, Logan, they found something and they went through him a ton in the passing game. Over 40 yards, count me in.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Zach's had a tremendous, like, Zach's literally had probably the best offensive offseason of anybody on the team. So, like, I'm in on that. Anything Zach Ertz related, I'm probably taking the over.
Once again, that was the pick segment here on Take Command, brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. So I think one of the burning questions this week to hit on is Terry McLaurin and a possible pitch count. He was asked about this by the media on Wednesday. He did not really answer the question. It was certainly not a no. It was a lot of words where he basically said, I feel okay, and we're going to see. Do you think he'll run the same number of plays and be out there for the same number of snaps as he would have been had he have shown up on day one of training camp?
I mean, that's a hypothetical and it's unknowable. Like, there's no counterfactual there, but I would assume that it would be slightly less than if he had been here since the start of training camp. And again, like, is that
noticeably though? Cause that wouldn't be a big deal. Like, a little bit less. Okay. Whatever. But do you, like, if he plays, the difference to me, let's say they have 60 plays of offense in this game. If he had 20 or 25 reps, that's a big deal to me. If he's out there, you know, 35, 40 times, which is a lot closer to, you know, a normal 45, 50, whatever that may look like, then you may not even notice it, especially if he's getting in 25, 30 reps or whatever, 5-6 targets, 4-5 catches, impacting the game, 60 yards, maybe he catches a touchdown. Like, what does his role look like in your mind?
So I think it's the stuff they used to do, quite honestly, with like Jordan Reed when he was like, when he was at the peak of his powers. It's like, if I'm going to give you a pitch count, I want you in critical down and distance. So I want you in third down, I want you in red zone. And if we got a shot call, like, you're in on that. And so even though his play count could be 25, 27, 28, 30, you're not going to feel it because he's going to be in the moments where you need him to be in. And I think like packaging it that way is probably the most beneficial way. And I have no idea what they're going to do. I have no inside baseball on that. But I'm just saying, based on how Dan has handled return to play stuff in the past and guys that have missed time for whatever reason, like, they're usually pretty smart about not dumping them out there and giving them 1,000 reps. But I do think you can still make his impact extremely potent with a limited number of reps if you deploy him in those specific situations.
All right, another question I've got for you on this matchup. So last year, if you look at Chris Rodriguez's season, he only had two games where he had more than 5 carries, and one of those was against the Giants where, if I remember correctly, like in the second half of that game, they just kind of fed him. Maybe that was an in-game thing where he was the hot hand, but is there something they might like about him against this front or defense, or am I thinking too much into it, like from a matchup standpoint?
I think you're probably thinking a little too much into it. I think the thing that Chris Rodriguez does that's so efficient and makes coaches like him is he's square downhill runner and he's going to break the first tackle. And if you, again, we talked about this a ton with him, if you can maximize dirty runs, and you had all those great statistics about his, you know, yards above expected, and that shows up when you watch the film. It's not just like analytic nerd stuff. Like, on film, you feel that from him. And if he's able to do that, against any defense, I think he'll play. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to see, because everyone's talking about, you know, Bill Kroski, Merritt, Austin Ekeler, and they should be talking about Austin. Austin's like, he's been so quiet in terms of the local media's dialogue about him, but I think he's going to have a big game this weekend. But I think in terms of running downhill, I think Chris Rodriguez is one of the better backs that I've seen in person do it. Again, I've played a lot of football, covered a lot of ball. He's really good at it. I think that's his superpower, and I think you'll probably see that on display. I don't know how many carries, but I think you'll see it on display this weekend.
So just for bookkeeping, you said analytic nerd stuff, I believe. That's what you said, right?
In a nice way. I meant that. Yeah. It's a term of respect, really.
It certainly sounded very respect. The reverence just oozed out of your pores when you said that. I guess that's the equivalent of me going like artificial tough guy, meat and potatoes, football cowboy stuff. You know, hat on a hat. We're going to move them here. Let's get 11 together. Yeah. Everybody touch the man next to you. And hey,
that's pretty good, man.
Thank you.
I feel like that's a high school coach in Texas that's running the single
wing. That's my guy. His name's Buddy. You know, he coaches in Texas. Everybody touch the man next to you. Look into his eyes now, okay? I understand we got 50 yards of width. Why do we need him? Let's have a pushing match. Let's get 22 together, and let's get 1 yard at a time. We'll get 10 plays straight, 1 yard at a time. We're just counting on a penalty. Football tough guy stuff. That's what we're looking for. Did you ever, I mean, that's my football coach character. Did you ever have a coach? I mean, you're from California, so it's a little different. But who was the most football cowboy guy that you ever played for?
I mean, so I don't care how smart you are. Every football coach has that, a percentage of that.
A little bit of that guy.
Yeah, even Kyle and Sean, who are like they're like the Albert Einsteins of football. Every once in a while, you
does Mike them. McDaniel have any of that guy in him? I don't think he does.
That's a great point, actually. the thing about Mike is like he's so maybe not. Maybe Mike doesn't have it. It's like a very small percentage because Mike, like when you look at his installs, like he is, it's like a beautiful mind, man. It's like we're gonna make sure this combination, we're gonna block back to this guy, we're gonna target this player over here, and he's trying to get maximum efficiency. And then you go like the other way, and then you get like most O-line coaches go like, line them up. We're going to run power. Let's get downhill. Let's get behind our pads, you know? And so like, but everyone's got a little bit. And Mike McDaniel's a good pull. I don't know how much he's got, you know, I haven't seen him in a while, but like
the fader's low.
Yeah. It's
like a 97-3 ratio. Whereas like a Bill Callahan's like 98-2 the other way or whatever.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, Bill Callahan, he loves duo. I remember sitting in the first duo install I had with Bill Callahan. So duo is basically power with no puller. It's a gap scheme run, but you're just kind of sitting double teams. And I was blown away by the level of detail that he put on every single call for duo. And everyone's like, man, you were really good at running duo in Washington. And I'd go to different teams. I'm like, how'd you do it? And I'd walk them through. I'm like, no way. And they'd be like, no way you did all that. I'm like, damn straight we did all that. And like, if you want to be good at it, like you got to put your time in on it. So
you got to want it. Yeah. It's funny though, because when you say duo, I think that's about as simple as it gets, like up front.
So for example, let's say you're in a 25 front. So for me, that's like, you got a Sam on the ball, you got a five technique. So someone's standing in between basically the tackle and the tight end. And then you got a shade a shade and then a three technique on the far side. So our combination call would be different if the five was a tight five or a loose five, if he was a four eye or a four, and the tackle would call it. Basically, his footwork would change, and then the call he would make, my footwork would change based on what he would call. So if he was a straight up four eye, like head up on the tackle, it was like a BIM. It was like a BIM over was the call. So basically, the tackle would go two hands in on the double, and then I would just attack the hip as hard as I could and BIM it over to him, and then it was like a BIM tram. So then I would go to the mic. If he was a loose five, it was a loose BIM or a wide BIM, I think was the call. And he would go a wide tram. And he would go vertical footwork, get a hand on the shoulder. And I knew I had to kind of take a bucket step and cross over and get my hat inside because I wasn't getting help from the tackle. And so on duo, like we had a four eye call, a four, a five, and a six call on all that stuff. And we had to know them and be able to kind of get that communicated on the line.
That's where this game is just so unbelievable, because that feels like one of the easier things. And then there's all these different quirks and tendencies. All right, before we get out of here, take command, week one, getting ready for the Giants. So quickly, I want to end this way. I want to go to both sides of the ball. On offense, area where you feel best that they're going to be able to take advantage, and then something you're a little nervous about.
On offense, area that I feel best about is Cliff Kingsbury calling this game. I think that's the area I feel most confident about. I think he's going to be able to kind of figure out what Shane Bowen's doing. He's going to be able to, like the thing we talked about, are they playing man? What are our man solutions? Are they playing the soft zone? What are our soft zone solutions? And then I think to kind of piggyback off of that more specifically is I think we'll be able to run the ball in some capacity and stay ahead of the sticks. And whether that's with Jaden or the running backs or with like this quick screen game to the perimeter, I think that's something that I'm very confident in. And I think that's something that this team wants to be. So that's what I'm confident in. In terms of things that I'm concerned about, I'm very confident in Cliff's ability to call a game with the offensive line and maximize them. But I'm worried about that matchup, man. Like, we just went through it. Like, Burns is tremendous. Dexter Lawrence is, again, maybe the second best defensive tackle in football. You talk about Abdul Carter. That dude is silly. Silly in terms of movement skills, right? And again, Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't want to diminish him, but again, like those other guys feel like on a different caliber. So when you've got four pieces like that, you got to be thinking a lot. And I think that's something that I, with the offensive line coming off a, you know, Brandon Coleman kind of coming back into the fold, who's going to play right guard, got a rookie right tackle, like there's some questions here. And again, I'm confident the coaches can handle it. And I think they've got the right people in place. It's just it's a tough fight, man. And that's what this game's about, is those tough matchups.
I think ball's going to come out quickly for the most part. I like that there's going to be quick game. I think backs, tight ends, stuff around the line of scrimmage, screen game maybe. I think there's going to be plenty of that. And I feel good about that. I am really nervous about anything that happens after they get behind the sticks and they got to hold the football, frankly. And the Connerly matchup fascinates me. Right. We'll talk a lot about that, I'm sure, after the game. But, you know, he's going to see Brian Burns a whole lot in his NFL debut, which there are easier ways to get into a swimming pool, I will say. All right. Defensively, same question. Thing you feel best about, thing you're nervous about.
I'm actually very confident in the defense on the whole. I think. Okay. And so, again, I love the personnel decisions. I love how they've handled the offseason. I think they're poised for a much improved year. So, generally, very positive. I think the one outlying question is, can you consistently stop the run? Because there is no doubt, I've never been more confident in anything leading into a preview show. The Giants are going to try and run the football. They're going to try and run the ball. And it will be a long day if we can't efficiently stop it. You can stop it once, stop it twice, but if they're going to kind of average 4.5 yards a carry and, you know, the running back runs for 120 yards and like, that's a bad sign for how they want to play defense. And so, can they get to second and third long? Can they rush the passer? Can they cover? I'm pretty confident they can. Is all of this stuff, all of these personnel additions, all of these, this new philosophy on first and second down, does that actualize, is the thing I'm probably most concerned about.
Let's play football. It's finally here. Giants at the Commanders, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Washington looking to get off to a 1-0 start at home before they hit the road on a short week for the Packers. So you'll hear from us after the game and then very soon thereafter looking ahead to Green Bay. For Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks for watching and listening to Take Command, however you get your audio, available wherever you do, and of course on video, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 on YouTube. Thanks to our producer, Evan. We will catch up with you after the game on Sunday afternoon.